If I were to ask you, what's the largest living thing on earth, what would you tell me? What?
It's a fungus.
Don't steal my thunder. You're not allowed to answer now. No, what would you, if I said, what's the largest living thing on earth, what would you say? Someone say whale? Whale, yeah. I mean, that's what we think of, right? I mean, that's kind of our largest living animals, blue whale.
Normal people.
Normal people think that way, yes, unlike perhaps certain pastors sitting in the pews. Yes, absolutely, yeah. All right, so if you weren't thinking of a whale, you might think initially that the African elephant, which is the largest land animal. And maybe you thought, perhaps, the giant sequoia. Of course, the question is, are you measuring by mass or by volume? Right? You have to sometimes delineate exactly how you're measuring and how you're figuring that out. But there can be a case made, as Chaplain Riegel has so smartly pointed out, stealing all of my thunder, that a case can be made for a fungus. Not necessarily by mass, but by area. One fungus has spread out, and it looks like a big mushroom, or a whole lot of mushrooms, up in the, I think it's the northwest. Big mushrooms spread out. Another case could be made, if that doesn't count, if that's not really necessarily one whole organism, but there's a grove of aspen trees that does the same sort of thing, as it one tree sort of sends out runners and the other trees pop off of these runners, and that one is certainly by mass just incredibly large given the amount of trees that are in this unit. And now when they give a name, they call it Pando. I don't know why. It's just... You see, you have to be really clear about how you're measuring it. Just like if you look at an iceberg, right, you only see a little bit of it. You can't really know the full size of the iceberg unless you go sort of under the water. You have to look at things a little bit differently. It's not just about height. It's not just about breadth. They generally determine individual entities, animals or trees, by mass and volume. Maybe some they determine by area, the fungus, stuff. So Jesus talks today about this kingdom growing in our midst. How is it that we begin to see it at work? We have to look at it differently. We can't look at it through our own eyes, through our own experience, through the way that the world would say, well, this is how you measure it. Because that's what we really want to do. We're talking about how is something growing. We want to say, how does it change? How do we measure it? Get a great deal of folks, if they are somewhat skeptical or antagonistic towards Christianity, who want to talk about all of the, well, all the ways the church hasn't helped itself. They want to talk about things like the Crusades, which, frankly, we need to sort of own up and go, yeah, that really wasn't so bad. Or want to talk about the ways that the church has mistreated Jews. And in the light of the shooting at the Holocaust Museum this week, and in the midst of the entire Holocaust, we have to sort of own up to and deal with. The church sort of was allowed to be co-opted into all of that. Because often and often enough, the church itself jumps into situations and earthly structures, and it wants to deal with things of power and fame and wealth. It wants to measure itself by its influence and the way that the world measures and deals with all of its other influences. But it's not that way. Jesus uses a parable, an agricultural parable here about sowing seeds. The kingdom grows. But the sower, he went out and sowed, and it says he rose, he slept, night and day. He didn't know how it was growing. If the kingdom was at work, these seeds were growing and spreading, moving throughout the world, producing a harvest. The kingdom is breaking in upon us through the proclamation of the gospel. And that is really sort of the heart of the issue. The gospel isn't measured by the worldly measures, the worldly rulers. Because the gospel more often than not speaks against the way that the world works, the way the world figures things. It wants to say, the world wants to say, you make your own fortunes. And for most of the time, we understand that. You go out, you work, you do those things. The kingdom has something much more revolutionary. Because when it comes to dealing with God and God's kingdom, you don't make your own way into the kingdom. We know this as Lutherans. We know that there's a different way. That God speaks to us and works through us, even though we're not the best, we're not the strongest, we're not the fastest, we're not the richest or the ones with the most power. Although some of us have some of those things in different ways in our lives. The kingdom comes about through God's activity in the world. God working in our midst. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen it, but the ELCA now has some ad campaigns out. And I happened to catch one on CNN a few weeks ago as I was sitting in the, waiting to get my tires replaced on my car. And sitting there, and all of a sudden, I started watching this ad, and I had already seen sort of bits of the ad online, and I said, oh wait, look, this is our ad. And in it, a woman is walking her daughter to school, and this is in Africa, and so they're walking across the veld there, and they begin talking. And she says, well, run through your multiplication tables as she goes. Very good. And then they get to school, and she sort of gives her a hug and sends her off into the classroom where she sits down. And then the mother, though, turns around and goes into the other door of the building and sits down in her own classroom where the ELCA is involved in a mission to help women start businesses in their home countries. And as you pull back, there's a shot, and just very briefly, two pencils lie crossed on the notebook. I'm not going to say that helping people figure out how to earn or make a living, run a business, isn't important. That could be done by anybody. It could be done by any organization. Only the barest hint of the cross in that setting. The barest hint of the fact that we do it because somehow we see it connected to the proclamation of the gospel in this world. You know what we want to say? Women aren't second-class citizens. Women deserve some ability to have some earning capacity because we understand that inherently they have some dignity. We understand that in their culture, they don't have all the access that they might have had. And that the kingdom of God speaks to the dignity of all human beings. But it's inherently rooted in the gospel. And sometimes, even in the ELCA, we want to trade that away. We want to show the world what we're doing. But we we don't want to necessarily talk about why we're doing it. But the seed that gets scattered in our parables is the word. This happens to be in Mark chapter 4, where it actually starts with sort of the grand parable of Mark, the parable of the sower. And the seeking of good soil as the seed of the word is scattered. And I think we see that carried on into this. We need to be a people who talk about what God is doing. Use God as active verbs. And as Lutherans, we've had centuries of not necessarily doing that. And so it's hard for us sometimes. Sometimes we're made a little uncomfortable when folks launch into rather enthusiastic comments about what God is doing in their lives. And really, preachers are really much to blame in all of this. We haven't always talked about God as the subject of active verbs. But this is the kingdom at work in the midst of what God has done in Jesus. It branches out and inspires each of us to do things. And here is kind of the revolutionary thing, because God is active in the world. God's kingdom is breaking in, whether or not we participate, as Luther says in his explanation of the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism, right? Surely God's kingdom comes whether or not we do anything. But when we pray in that prayer, your kingdom come, we pray that it comes in us also, comes to us, comes even perhaps through us. That we become active participants in this kingdom, not simply mere bystanders. Because God has grabbed a hold of us. God has claimed us. And God continues to inspire us, to bring faith about in us. And send us out. God is someone who's active, and active through us, broken individuals who sometimes get it wrong and do really stupid things in the name of Christianity. But when we are given the gift of faith, we are able to see with new eyes, to see a new way of looking at the world. We're not going to measure it by the old rulers, the old standards, but understand that God is at work in something else, redeeming this world. And we find ways that the kingdom pops up in different places, in schools, in Africa, in soup kitchens, church basements where quilts are made, and a group of youth out in the parking lot washing cars to go to experience a great event in New Orleans. But it's rooted not in the activity itself, but in the proclamation of God's kingdom breaking into this world through us. As I told the children in the children's sermon, we don't always see it. We may engage in it, and we may not know the full extent of what's going on. But each and every time we engage in something, some ministry, fruits of the kingdom pop up. They may be small. They may be huge, and we may never know whether they're small or whether they're huge. God calls us to this through the gospel, through what God does for us in Jesus. Perhaps we want to see the body of Christ as this largest living organism. We have to measure it in a new way because it cuts across time and space. Given that the saints, all those who believe, all those who have been around since Jesus walked this earth, calling us through the gospel, are connected. A new creation, a new living thing. And it takes eyes of faith to see it. Hearts of faith to love it. Bodies of faith to live it out. God gives that to us graciously in the sowing of the gospel, in word, in bread and in wine, in water washed. And God is active. God is active in all those ways. Let us be able to walk by that faith, to see that new vision of a great and glorious body at work in the world. Amen.